everyone, and welcome back to the Well It Depends podcast. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is Andrew Barron. Today's episode is being recorded on April 28th, 2026.
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a common question that us advisors get asked a lot in the industry, and that question is, what is my magic number for retirement? It's very simple and easy for a person who's looking to retire to ask and frame a question around retirement about what my number might be needed for retirement. But in the industry, a lot of times we like to reverse the question back on to whether it's the prospect or the person looking to retire and ask them, what do you want your retirement to look like? Because realistically, if you're asking us to say a number, we're really just guessing. Each retirement looks different. There is really no one size fits all. Someone who has $1 million could retire. Someone who has $500,000 can retire. A household that spends $60,000 a year has a very different retirement than a household that spends $120,000 a year. So I guess what a good starting point for this topic is, explain to the audience, Andrew, what are the three phases most people go through in retirement, and how do they all look differently from each other when you're in retirement?
Right, that's a great lead-in, where a lot of people think retirement is one distinct stage, but as advisors, we think about it as three stages. Go-go years, which you can think about as the fun part of retirement. You get to do a bunch of travel, or the things you've been delaying while you've been working. You can really take advantage of being retired finally in your life. One day your health and age catch up to you and you move to the slow go years, where you're still able to do things, but just at a significantly lower capacity than you had maybe, let's say, 10 years before. And then finally you transition to the no go years, where you're typically at the end of life. You typically are stuck in a house or a nursing home or something like that. You're able to do less, and it's really more about leaving behind a legacy than it is focusing on current finances.
Yes, and with those phases, like Andrew was explaining to us, there is no concrete 10 years in each phase and it equals 30. Some people can spend 5 years in go-go and then have a tragedy happen where they're unexpectedly put into no-go years where their health might deteriorate quicker. So there really is no baseline year projection for how long each retiree might stay in each phase. I think another thing that gets often overlooked is people are focused on the portfolio aspect, meaning I need $1 million in my retirement account. But someone who has a heftier Social Security, a pension, there you could have two people with the same portfolios, but if someone has a pension and getting $40,000 a year in Social Security, they're going to have a very different retirement than someone with just $1 million and no $40,000 in Social Security and a big pension. So there are other things to look at other than just a magic number being in a retirement account. There are income streams. One of the things that I think also ties into the magic number question is your retirement age. Explain to the audience, what are some possible hurdles and obstacles for someone retiring early might face compared to someone who maybe takes the traditional route and retires at 65, 67, or 70, the Social Security ages?
So I was going to say that. So what do we mean by retiring early? And in this country, we qualify for Medicare at age 65. And that's the single biggest hurdle for anyone to retiring, quote unquote, early, is qualifying for some kind of health care or not having that as a major expense. Sometimes you do see employers offer some kind of supplement, or perhaps even for executives or for long-term employees, you may see some kind of continuation, but oftentimes it's a huge cost in addition to lifestyle that prevents a lot of people from retiring early. And I guess going back to your earlier point, besides just assets and income, but also be spending, where I've seen people that just have a very minimalist approach in what they want from life. And reading and visiting family is much more important to them and satisfying, and they may need less than someone who wants to stay at all the Ritz-Carltons of the world and visit every country and things like that. So it really is a personal preference and what do you want in your retirement to look like.
Yes, I completely agree. And that kind of ties into where we look at the spending, and a common spending strategy that gets quoted when looking at retirement is the 4% rule. And for those of you who don't know, the 4% rule basically lays out that a retiree can safely withdraw 4% of their savings each year and comfortably have money left over after 30 years. And this rule has been stress tested through the worst of the market downturns, whether that be the Great Depression, the dot-com burst, 08. But this is what we like to call a useful starting point, but it's not really a retirement plan. People shouldn't go into the retirement and just use the 4% rule year over year and think that they're going to fulfill themselves with just using that standpoint. And what I really mean by that is we as advisors, a lot of times look to see what can go right. And oftentimes things do go right in retirement. We've had strong performance in the market. And I really think a real plan takes a deeper look at what we do when we have strong performance years like last year, and we sit down with a client and start really tweaking a plan that might have been looked at in 2024, and we adjust it for current conditions in 2025 and 2026. What are some of those things that we talk about in those meetings with clients, and how do we adjust plans on the fly to meet their needs?
Yeah. So in general, especially my retired clients, I like to plan for the next, I usually tell people 12 to 18 months of spending and really big things. Obviously, there's the day-to-day, but new cars, home renovations, travel, gifting, $10,000 up kinds of expenses. And I like to put that aside for in cash, especially if we've had phenomenal market year. Let's take some profits, put that aside so we can fund the things that we want to do in retirement, fund things. I really like about the strategy is, especially selling at the top, taking profits at the top makes sense for a lot of reasons. And then we don't have to worry about the volatility the rest next 12, 18 months. We can handle, especially in a year like this year, we can handle everything. And yes, we might see inflation tick up, but for the most part, we can handle things. We don't have lifestyle disruption, and especially in retirement where that can be scary and may actually do less in retirement because of that, rather than, once again, enjoying yourself while you have the health and age.
Yeah, and I think hinting on what we see currently in the markets, we do see a lot of volatility while also being at all-time highs. So it's like a caveat where it's like we're seeing, you know, headlines that scare people, but we're also looking at the market and it's hit an all-time high last week. So I do think having a retirement plan also helps us in scenarios like we've been seeing in the market with volatility. A 10% pullback in the market is not historically unnormal. It's how we react to it. When we have a plan in place and we are monitoring a plan, we don't take these scary headlines and then just go ahead and start selling everything. There's a reason why we built the plan. It's to weather the goods and the bads in the market. And sometimes the worst decision you can make is overreacting to bad news. So I think having a retirement plan that makes you not panic and make smart decisions can help you in the long run. And the people that don't have a plan are the ones who tend to panic and possibly make a really bad decision when it comes to investing. So what other things do we take a look at when we talk about having a real plan? Some of those things are, it gives us confidence, and confidence meaning you yourself as the retiree, you know that there's something, a structure set in place where I'm going to do this. And if this doesn't work, I have already built in guardrails that kind of deter me from doing bad decisions. Also, we want to make sure a withdrawal strategy is in place. And what I mean by that is there's things that come up in retirement that we do need to plan for regardless of whether we want to do them or not. Explain to the audience who might not be aware of the required minimum distribution that they might have to face come 73 or 75, depending on the age they might be.
So if you've accumulated a lot of money in pre-tax or what is known as traditional retirement accounts, so traditional IRA, traditional 401k, if you accumulate multiple millions of dollars because of the required distributions at those ages in your 70s, you can almost lose tax planning strategies because as your money grows, you have such large amounts that you have to take out, it becomes really difficult to do any other planning. Lots of times people forget about something called IRMA, which is what your Medicare premiums are. And essentially, if you hit each tier amount, your premium gets close to doubling every time you go up the bracket. And so you can quickly subject yourself to what's essentially an extra tax just because you have these major distributions on your retirement accounts. So careful planning, if you're able to, in your, let's say, 60s, to take advantage of conversions or just taking out distributions where you're emptying and living off of this money. You don't necessarily have to do conversion. You can spend your money in retirement, obviously, just to help the cash flow and reduce the later impact later in life.
And to all these things align with your portfolio, your goals. We are constantly tweaking a plan. There really is no retirement plan out there that truly is a set it and forget it plan. You are revisiting your plan, hopefully at least once a year, if not maybe more, if life events happen. It is cliche to say visit it once a year, but life happens. Things change. You need to be able to react and be proactive to things that might happen while also being reactive. I don't think there is a one size fits all where you can't protect yourself against everything. You also need to be able to make right decisions when they do happen and occur. You have to be both ends of the sword of that word. I think when it comes to retirement, a lot of people want just a finish line. And what I mean by that is they want just a one goal. And it's really normal as humans to be like, I just need $1 million and I'm good. But there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of variables when it comes to retirement. And it really isn't something that we could just say, I have $1 million and I'm good and everything's gravy. So, other than that, anything regarding the magic number topic that you want to point out to the audience?
I just want to go back to one thing you said earlier about it going right. And it's in the industry, I think we scare people that you need to have all this money because the end of life is going to be so expensive that you need to save. And yes, it's true, the end of life can be very expensive. Memory care can be very expensive. But in general, obviously there are outliers, but in general, measuring this in months, not years. And while it's important to preserve assets for this, typically when you've transitioned into the stage of life, you're not doing anything else and you can donate 100% of your income towards those costs. And so, yes, it's important to prepare for, let's call it the end, but it's important to live life today. We never really know when that next stage is going to come. And so, once again, it's important to, as you're saying, what can go right? How can I live today and know that I need to preserve for tomorrow and save, but how can I really take advantage of the time and money I have today?
These are all things that us advisors deal with on a day-to-day basis with our clients. None of these questions are by any means off topic or things that we don't hear constantly. It is very common for plenty of people entering or about to retire to have these questions pop up. So it is always good to have these conversations prior to retirement and also while you're in retirement with a qualified financial advisor. I'm your host, Derek Doyle,
And I'm Andrew Barron.
and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.